Lessons from the late Parshas Akiv. We'll just woke everybody up. I think this is a really important idea. Unfortunately, I heard some bad news that a lot of people are going to be leaving soon and so on and so forth. This week, some guys are leaving and they're not letting other guys in and the COVID and blah, blah, blah. So I thought it was important to get the very beautiful idea that I saw. You don't know what kind of work I do for you guys. You know, I could have been eating pizza last night, but I spent a good few hours trying to find something that applies to, as I told you, I always have what I want to speak about, and then I have to find it somewhere in the parasha. And I found it, but it wasn't until this morning. The pasuk tells us in our parasha, in Parshas Akiv, it tells us of the role of Shevet Levi. The pasuk tells us that Be'esahi Hivdil Hashem et Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was different than anybody else. We know that Shevet Levi is very special and unique, right? Besides the fact that it's, you know, hard for us to find a Kohen and a Levi all the time, especially during COVID, you know, getting these unique things. All of a sudden you became a Kohen or whatever. But Shevet Levi is unique. Till today we have halachos of Shevet Levi. Both a Kohen and a Levi, by the way, but specifically to Shevet Levi we know. The first aliyah goes to the Kohen. Really, not for the waiters now, but really the Kohen is not supposed to have Toranut, right? He's not really, this is a question we asked Rav Nevensal my year in Israel, and Rav Nevensal said, yeah, it's true. A Kohen obviously asked this question, and he said, is it true that, in yeshiva you had Toranut, where you had to like serve or whatever and clean? So he says, yeah, the Kohen shouldn't do that. Rabina didn't like that, but that was the psak. We know this. And we know that even today, so in Eretz Yisrael, here by the Sfardim, we have Birchas Kohanim. The Kohanim are special. That's what the Pasuk is telling us. They're special. Al kein lo haya lelevi chelekun nachlav. That's why they don't have a nachla achrav. Achrav Hashem elokecha nachlav zol kasher diber Hashem elokim lemor. So Shevet Levi is so special, they're elevated, and therefore, at this time, they don't need that. Interestingly enough, on this Pasuk, the Evan Ezra says something very, very beautiful. The Evan Ezra quotes a pasuk. He uses a pasuk as a proof for this idea. And he says as follows. He quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. And interestingly enough, there was, before I get to the Evan Ezra, there was a very interesting paper written, but I think maybe it's a book as well. The Tolna Rebbe, the great Rabbi Isidore Torsky, Rabbi Dr. Torsky, of course, was a professor in Harvard, as well as the Tolna Rebbe, very unique, and Machatanim with the great Rav Soloveitchik. And he wrote an awesome idea that the Evan Ezra influenced the Rambam's writing. The Evan Ezra was written, right, around 1080, 70, something like that, and the Rambam lived 1138. So obviously the idea is quite possible, obviously, to happen. So, in one of the proofs, Rabbi David Horowitz, the Rosh Hashiva in YU, brings this idea and says that something very interesting happens. Because on this pasuk, what does the Evan Ezra say? So I'll read you what the Evan Ezra says. Surprisingly, in the Mikros Gedolos that we have here, it's not in it, so I'll read it. Hashem nachlaso, hu nachlatenu, nachlato. Kitam Hashem, manat chelki v'kosi zu, hi avoyez Hashem, b'lima darko. What does it mean that Hashem is the inheritance? The meaning is, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, the pasuk in Tehillim tells us in 16:5 the following. It says, "The same is unto the Lord the portion of mine of my inheritance is my cup." This refers to the service of Hashem by learning in His ways. What is the Evan Ezra getting at? Maybe the Evan Ezra is getting at what the Rambam famously says at the end of the Perek of Shemitah v'Yovel, at the end of Sefer Zeroyim. The Rambam writes something that has been used and sometimes misused, as I'll tell you in a moment, as follows. He speaks about the end of Shemitah of Yovel, Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel. The Rambam speaking about, V'lo Shevet Levi Bilvad.
First he says in Yud Bet, V'lama lo zocha Levi benachlas Eretz Yisrael, as our psukim just said, it doesn't have a nachla. Mipnei shehuvdo la'avod Hashem l'sharto. They don't need to be busy working. They had a different job. Right? L'chavod l'safaras, specifically Levi's job, we know, was Shiras Levium, right? I'm sure you've heard from your great Rebbe Ravina, that would not be his job. He says, I'm not going to be singer. I have terrible voice. What is he? What's his job? He said he's going to be the limousine driver. He'll drive the Kohen around or something. But really, the Kohanim had two jobs. The main jobs, they were Shiras Levium, right? Hayom Yom Rishon L'Shabbos Shaboy Levium Oimrim Beis HaMikdosh, this Mizmor. And they were the protectors. They were the guards. They were the people who locked the doors. And then it says, and this is very inspiring, the lo Shevet Levi Bilvad. This isn't just nowadays something for Shevet Levi. Ela kol ish v'ish, mikol boi olam. Anyone in the world, not talking only about Jews, Rabbi Yisai. Even Levoy Ela. Asher nidva ruacha oso ha hevinu. So we could all be Levi nowadays. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But we could be Shevet Levi. Ladas is Hashem. Lahach yashar. Kamosha asav elokim. Bepark miyad savarol. V'chulu v'chulu. The Chiddush says, the Rambam, and he says, and how do we know all this? Based on a pasuk. Hare David Amar. Hashem manas chelki v'koisi oisi taimich garali. The pasuk that the Eben Ezra uses by Shevet Levi. So you have to understand why did the Rambam quote a pasuk? We know the Rambam and even knows anything about the Rambam. He's quite careful with his Mishnah Torah in picking stuff. Why did he do that? So to this, Rav David Horowitz wants to use this pasuk as saying it's obviously a proof that the Rambam and the Eben Ezra were in line with each other. Something's unique about Shevet Levi that he used this pasuk. And in our psukim, he's teaching us an important lesson. This isn't just psukim. We have to understand that the Torah is alive. You read this psukim, you fall asleep. You say, Shevet Levi, that's not me. Let's go, move on. No. Why did we pick David HaMelech of all people? Because David HaMelech was not a Kohen and he wasn't a Levi. And he says, I'm part of the Nachla. There's a beautiful medrash that's brought down. It's a startling message, if I could say, that's brought down from the Malbim. It says that in the future days, they're going to ask different people to lo shevet Levi bilvad. So what's going to happen? So they're going to ask different people. They ask Avram Avinu, right? The end of days. They said, "Nu, here's the big table. I want you to bench, right? What's the normal thing when they ask people to bench? No, me, who am I? You know, I'm not a Kohen. I don't want to bench, right? That's what we like to say." So comes along the Medrash, and the Medrash says, "I'm going to read you the Medrash just a little bit because it's so beautiful." And he says like this. Sorry. Let me find the Medrash. That Avraham Avinu is going to say, I don't want to. Who am I to be able to do this? He says, I had Yishmael. He's going to go down the line, right? I had Yishmael. Ah, so that's not good enough because of Yishmael. So he continues and he goes down the line and he gets to David. He expands the Medrash, and he goes, and then he goes to David. And David HaMelech says, yeah, you know, I really should bench. Why? This is the Pasuk. Because I'm part of the Nachla, because Kosi shows us up, Hashem Hashem Ekra. I get it. He uses the word Kosi for what it should mean. I understand what's going on over here. Kosi Chelki. It's my portion. What's unique about David HaMelech? He wasn't a Kohen or a Levi, but he had the keys to the Beis HaMikdash. He was the one who started, and obviously his son, take over for the Beis HaMikdash, but they were for Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda classically is known as Malchus, my Shevet. Sheva Yehuda is known as Malchus. The regular people, quote unquote. The people who are taking over. Malchus. Remember, nobody ever told you, Hartstein. Malchus. Yeah. You're from Malchus. Malchus, David. Your great uncle. Your great uncle. Not my grandfather. I think it was Uncle Abe who made a tree to show that we come from David HaMelech. Pretty exciting. That's why we followed the original Hasidim. We're from the Beyond of Hasidim. Malchus. But we are all from Shevet David. We are all descendants that don't have to be a Kohen or Levi. These psukim are telling us in an awesome vort. And it's saying that we all can become the Shevet Levi. Even if we're Shevet Yehuda. Anyone can become that. As long as we take Hashem's inheritance. We take that Nachla. Famously, the pasuk, I like to use this a lot. I wrote this in a certain sefer. Yeah. One of the trilogy svarim of the great Dr. Mendel I. Gantrow. Yeah. I forgot which one I wrote it in. Probably the Bar Mitzvah one. What was the Bar Mitzvah one called? You know what I'm talking about, yeah? Oh, you're going to be in trouble now. Anyway, so I wrote an article there. And there I used this pasuk. Right? Torah, I happen to be, it was the Vizoy Sefer Achor. Torah Tzivalana Moshe, excuse me for saying the words, Morasha Akilas Yaakov. What's, you understand, right? What's a Morasha? So our dear friend's article actually say it right. Some people have a, it's a very hard when they wrote it in English, this is the first English real translation. Because the old translation was, you know, we, as kids we grew up, we used Sancino. Really, it's not called Sancino, it's going to be called Sancino. This was made in Italy. Sancino. Sancino, so they use like the Queen's English. Are that thou shall I? Thou. And you're like, what's going on over here, Shakespeare? I don't understand. So this was the first of people that now why they use it. It really took a lot to know what each of the words meant. So what's a morasha? So if I would think that the word morasha means it's an inheritance. A nachla is an inheritance from generation. No, a nachla is something that you get. You get a piece, but as the pasuk says, it's a goral. You decide on the piece that you get. See, an inheritance, your father could leave you $25 million and you can say, challenge. Here's the challenge. Right? Rabben is away, the mouse will play. So today, I'm going to spend my $25 million, even though we're not allowed to leave camp, let's get in cars. I'm going to show you how I can spend $25 million in a few hours. Let's go to Woodburn. I hope I'm coming with you, yeah? So, no. A morasha is more of an inheritance. A morasha is something that we take upon ourselves as a heritage. It's blood, sweat, and tears. Your fathers, your parents can tell you all they want. The grandparents can say, do this, do it. But it's going to be you to be the blood, sweat, and tears. That's what the Rambam's saying. You can be Shevet Levi. Incorrectly, excuse me for saying this, but I think that the Haredi population use this Rambam and say, we are Shevet Levi, and therefore we have to stay in the yeshivas and we have to learn, and we can only learn all the time because we are Shevet Levi. They didn't have a Nachla, we won't have a Nachla. I think that's an incorrect interpretation of this. It's actually saying, I think the Rambam's saying, no, be like me, Rambam, Dr. Rambam. Go out and work and be someone. That's a very important chelek. But Rav Asher Weiss says beautifully, there are three things in this Rambam that you have to be. Number one, says the Rambam, La'avod lefnei Hashem l'usharto. You need a voidah. You need a voidah Hashem. Our voidah Hashem, unfortunately, is not bringing karbonos. It's our connection to the Rabbanu Shalom. It's our davening to the Rabbanu Shalom. And you need la'datat Hashem, says the Rambam. Deyas Hashem is only one thing, the Torah. Yes, Atachonin Lom Das is talking about all Das, but mainly it's talking about Torah. Because Rabben gave you a Lumdisha great shear now, it could have gone one in the ear and gone out the other. Yes, you got Schar and so on and so forth. But you have to chop. You have to chop. That's why you're supposed to have in the morning. You're supposed to prepare a little bit so that you can chop better. You're supposed to sleep well so you can chop better. That's the Das Hashem. And finally he says, Holech Yashar Kefisha Aso. The Rambam says the third thing is Yashras. I would argue we're talking about Torah, Avodah, and Luz Chasadim. Because if a person is rich, if a person has any money, and he's not Goymel Chesed, he's worthless. If a person is not a Yasher person, Hashem doesn't want him to give his money to poor people. Nebuch Lo Aleinu, one of our sad Chil Hashem moments in our lives is when, and it's happened more than once, someone donated, has a big name on a building, and then they go to jail, and always, you know, Fox News likes to show, probably more CNN, likes to show them taking the name off the wall because the guy's going to be in jail now. That's not a nachala. Rav Asher Weiss in another place writes about that the Levium signified Shevet Levi, Mizbeach, Menorah, Shulchan, the three types of the same Jew, but the three areas that we have to concentrate on. Our Avodah and our Torah, Gibbulus Chasadim. It's interesting, says Rav Asher Weiss, because our whole point in existence of the Levium, the point in existence of the Levium were two major things, Shirat HaLevium and Shmirat HaSha'arim, what he calls Simcha and Kavod, Kavod v'Simcha. We wouldn't think Simcha is an important part of this, but it's actually the key ingredients to this. If I don't have a Simcha as being a Jew, if there's no Simcha in what I do, and all the three things I just spoke about, my Torah and Avodah and Gluz Chasadim, my yashrus I do with simcha. I just lost a deal, $1 million, because it wasn't a yashrus deal. I have a simcha because that's what Rabbeinu Shalom wanted for me. The Rambam himself writes that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because we didn't have simcha b'tu levav, as we say in Parshas Kisavo, right before Rosh Hashanah. We'll say this startling tochacha of Klal Yisrael that we did mitzvahs out of rote. We didn't have simcha. And l'chavoid, u'l'sifares, I know maybe you took it as a joke, but it's not a joke at all. It bothers me to no end. As Rav Ari Katz said on Shabbos, how do you not thank a waiter? How do you just get mad at him? How do you speak to him in the way that you speak to him? What a chutzpah. Mamash a chutzpah. And I see this, I'm at the table, I hear, give me more potato kugel, right? What are you saying? Give me more potato. Chutzpah. I'm not allowed to, you know. I wouldn't give the kid potato cookie. I said, that's not the way we ask. That's the way I ask at my house. That's nice. We're in camp now, my friend. I'm trying to teach you midos. Say please, say thank you. Shmiras HaSha'arim was to the cover of the Rabban Shoylam. That's what Shevet Levi was. That's the Derech HaChaim, the Derech Musa, says Rav Asher Weiss. To recognize that we have a chelik in this. We are Shevet Levi. Modern day Shevet Levi is following these ways. But recognizing, Rabbi Yisai, something that needs to be heard and is not heard enough. And that is your commitment to the Torah. Excuse my musar for a moment. This was supposed to be musar, so I'm going to give you musar. This kolel was established, I assume, to be koine Olamo b'kayitz echad. Apparently, some people like to define kayitz as a different way. You're kind of with Torah mostly. You have time off, that's great. But you don't come to shir. You don't sit in im lo yachshav emosai. When else are you going to have a summer off for the rest of your life? You don't. It's hard to explain to you how I chalish the weekends. I love the weekends. Not because I get to hang out with my friends. No, that's not why. It was because it gives me a time to sit and learn Torah more than the rest of the week. I could connect to the Rabbeinu Shalom better. Be able to put that suit on and feel Shabbos coming in. El Chadodi, a beautiful tefillah here. But it's not only about that. It's my commitment to Torah. Torah's number one. Rabben said on right before the end of Tisha B'Av, that line, right? We're selling Torah. Forget about everything else about Eretz Yisrael. We're selling Torah. Forget about everything else about Eretz Yisrael. There's no Torah. There's no generation ever in the history of the Jewish people that had more Torah being learned than what's happening now in Eretz Yisrael. But I want to be part of that team. I don't want to be a spectator watching them. You know, you see Lahavdil, but you watch. Now it's like this is the Nebuch, you know. You're going to see those that are around this week. You're going to be shocked what camp looks like. Because more than half the people are leaving camp. It's going to be, so now it's like the big tournaments, the hockey, this and that. So the guy that's playing, you know, and afterwards he's sweating and so forth, is much different than the kid that was on the side going, yay, team, yay, I don't get to play at all. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a spectator and hear a shir every so often and go, shkoyach, that was a very good shir. No.
Imagine sitting in a shir and you know, the person, I have had this before in my life more than once, unfortunately. The person gets up to give a shir. Someone's told me about this great speaker and it was local, so I went, and he gets up and he goes, I'm like, he's speaking Yiddish, and I can't get out of here now, you know? He gave a shir in Yiddish. I didn't know it was flying. Right? I'm sure we've all had that experience where we go to a shir, and it's in English, and we don't know what's going on. But Shevet Levi says, I want to join the team. I want to be on Shevet Levi team. David HaMelech proved that. David HaMelech, he was the bencher. He was the one who benched. Because he said, I get the message. It's interesting because this pasuk is used the opposite way also, that this is the job of those that serve in the army, the Yaakov Hartzins of the world. He's joining Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi, David HaMelech, he fought. For that reason, Rabbi Yisai, he wasn't able to build a Beis HaMikdash because he had blood on his hands, even though it was for the right reasons. L'chavar l'tafaras is that we have to recognize we have a greater job in life. We will speak about that greater job in Birz Hashem at length in a moment of my own life. But if one thing I could say that I accomplished is not millions of dollars in the bank, but it's Yashrus, as Rav Asher Weiss writes. It's really being a Shevet Levi, Kamosha Kosov. It's dedicating myself to Avodah. It's dedicating myself to Torah. What you see up here should not be a unique situation to you and say, oh, well, because of his situation. What? Who am I? I'm not special. Look, I'm wearing the same shirt as you. I'm not special. That's an important thing to think about. And there's something to be said for Shevet Levi, as our pasuk tells us in our parsha. Lo Shevet Levi Bavadia, they didn't have a nachla. So Baruch Hashem, we're a zeichet that we could have a nachla. But a nachla doesn't have to be. It's a heritage. You have to work on it with blood, sweat, and tears. It doesn't matter who your father was. Because your father's a Rosh Hashiva, it doesn't make you a Rosh Hashiva. But you have to dedicate yourself to these three areas. And I think it's beautiful, as Rav Asher Weiss says, that the last area is called Yashras, of being an emistic Jew, being honest with yourself and who you are and what you are. That is very, very important. We should be zeichet to get these ideas and become like a David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, as we say in the beautiful David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim in Kiddush Levana. We should be zeichet to mekadosh Shem Hashem with these three things and be zeichet to be part of Shevet Levi, so we be zeichet to actually see again Shevet Levi come back and do avodas HaKohanim, Shiras for Levium of the great Levium, hear their great songs. Piyas Gol Tzedek and Hevi Amenu. Amen.